This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
If you ask 10 people to draw a picture of a carrot, chances are the drawings will all look pretty much the same. If you go to a supermarket to buy a carrot, they all look the same too. But it turns out that carrots come in many different shapes and sizes. It's just that the weird-shaped ones don't make it to the produce display shelves. About a year ago, a small team of food activists in California got together to figure out how to combat this invisible food waste problem. The result is a new mission-driven startup called Imperfect Produce, which delivers misshapen fruit and vegetables at a discount to homes and offices in the Bay Area. Evan Hazlett is an ugly produce enthusiast with Imperfect Produce, and he joins me this morning from California. Hello, Evan.
Hi, good morning.
I'm a bit jealous of your title.
Yeah, it's a pretty goofy title.
How much produce does get left behind in the fields?
It's an exorbitant amount of food that we leave behind in the fields. In the U.S., it's about 20% of all fresh fruits and veggies are thrown out, discarded, just because of the way they look. And that's a conservative estimate. Some farmers will honestly tell you it grows up to 50, 70% depending on the item. And that's, again, that's about 6 billion pounds of produce annually.
Well, that's a lot of produce. When you say imperfect produce or ugly produce, what do you mean?
So it varies. It's generally, you know, it's a little too large, a little too small, a little misshapen. Sometimes for fruits like oranges, lemons, avocados, there's going to be a little scarring on that outside layer, whatever, because it rubbed up against bark or another piece of fruit or maybe a leaf or a twig. And it doesn't have that perfect kind of sheen, that perfect shape, and so that'll get discarded. And then actually sometimes, you wouldn't believe it, a lot of the food we get is just surplus. So it's actually the exact same thing, the highest quality that farmers would be able to sell to supermarkets, but they just have too much of it this time around, and the supermarkets can't handle the influx, and so there's just surplus, and they would discard it, and instead we're trying to buy that. So, you know, I will say one of the biggest remarks we get often when people get their first box is, this isn't ugly. It's not even that imperfect. So when you talk about imperfect, you know, the 1% is really odd, ugly-looking stuff that's really, really fascinating and beautiful in a way. But most of the time, imperfect simply means minor cosmetic defects, or it doesn't meet this exact shape and size that you can stack, you know, hundreds of oranges on top of each other.
Is that misshapen produce unique produce? Is it lower quality in any way?
No, it's not. It's the exact same stuff that you would buy in the grocery store. It's coming from the exact same farmers. They simply weed it out when they're going through their packing and harvesting process. And again, we don't sell anything that's lower quality. And often what you get from us will potentially be higher quality because it's just off the farm. They just harvested it. We get it that day or the day after, and then we box it up and we give it to you within a day or two. And oftentimes grocery stores will store food, processors will store food for long periods of time in these kind of static environments with certain gaseous environment that keeps fruit and veggies from rotting. But they'll stay there for months sometimes, depending on the item. So, in fact, often our produce, you could say, is even a higher quality. The shape does not affect the quality at all.
You know, it's my perception that over the years that produce has got to be more similar, or I guess more uniform. What drives that desire for conformity of shape and size?
It's a really, really excellent question, and I think it's a pretty complex one, and certainly one I'd love to learn more about in terms of how did our cultural system evolve. I would gander that it started post-World War II. In fact, if you look at World War II, our government was actively encouraging people to conserve resources and use as much as they could, and if there was waste, put it to some other productive use. There were PSAs where they'd have like this friendly humanoid pig saying, "Don't throw away your food, I'll eat it," right? And so we had this culture of conservation. And then after the war, you know, we entered this age of abundance, you know, massive factory production of everything, including our food. And we started to see food as just another, you know, product of this massive factory production. And I would guess that it probably started with companies trying to distinguish each other, distinguish themselves from their competitors, saying, "Hey, we're bigger, we're better, we're shiny. We had more wealth as a country. It didn't matter if you wasted as much." So I think it probably, in terms of chicken and egg, it probably started with kind of this market competition, but then that drove consumer perception of, oh, well, waste doesn't matter, and then you come to expect a certain standard in the grocery store, and then you're a kid growing up in that culture where all you see is perfect in the grocery store, and you never think twice about it. And so now I would say 60 years later, it's just kind of this self-fulfilling feedback loop of all you see. You know, I didn't even think about this until I started working for Imperfect. So I grew up in a culture where all I saw was perfect fruits and vegetables. So at this point, it's just a matter of a lack of awareness, lack of education around what's actually happening in our system.
Who are the people behind the idea of Imperfect Produce?
So we have three amazing co-founders, two of them, the Bens, we call them, Ben Simon and Ben Chesler. They are just recently out of college, and in college for 4 years, they co-founded and ran a nonprofit called the Food Recovery Network. And what that does is they galvanize student volunteers on campuses across the nation to recover wasted food from the dining halls and to donate it to people in need. And they did that for 4 years, grew to be the largest student-led food waste movement in the country. And then they were thinking about, okay, what's next? Now we're out of college. What's the next obstacle we can attack? And so Ben Simon was out in the Bay, actually, in the fall of 2014 for a big food summit. And he was talking, you know, kind of in this networking event outside. He was talking to a guy named Tristram Stewart, who's a global intellectual leader in food waste, an amazing person and one of our advisors now at Imperfect, saying, "Hey, Tristram, you know, I've been leading Food Recovery Network. What's the next target?" And Tristram said, the farm, there's so much waste, and there's so much you can do to combat that. And actually, down the picnic table is Ron Clark. And so Ron Clark is our third co-founder. Tristram introduced the two of them. The rest was history. Ron Clark has been for about 20 years, worked with the San Francisco Food Banks and the California Association of Food Banks, kind of leading farm-to-family program where, you know, they would also do a similar donation practice, but again, just barely scratching the surface. So the three of them got together and said, you know, we can scale this thing with this kind of social impact driven business model, and it's, you know, it's growing, and it's, you know, here we are now.
Now, I believe you can buy ugly produce in some supermarkets in other countries. Are you the first in the U.S.?
We're the first U.S. ugly produce brand, for sure. But you're correct to say there are other countries that are doing similar work, like, you know, Intermarché in France. I'm sure you might have heard of them. They're a big supermarket over there, and they are having great success, actually, with selling ugly fruits and veggies. I know that there's also something almost exactly like us now starting in Australia. So people are starting to get, you know, riled up by it, and around the world, yeah.
Is it hard, Evan, to find farmers who want to work with you on this?
You know, yes and no. I think, like supermarkets, some farmers definitely want to protect their brand in terms of, you know, what produce is attached to their name, whether it's you receive it in a box or you buy it at the grocery store. But for the most part, no, it hasn't been difficult. You know, we work with probably around one farmer per item. And every single week we have, you know, about 15 items. So that's 15 farmers. You know, at this point, it's not a matter of do we have enough supply? It's a matter of is there enough demand? So part of, you know, as a social impact organization, part of what we're trying to do too, in order to grow demand is education. And so it's bit by bit, it's chunk by chunk. But yeah, no, there's no lack of supply and definitely no lack of willing farmers.
How does it work at the consumer end then? What kind of discount do you offer people who sign up for delivery, and how do they benefit by the service?
So they benefit in a couple ways. Obviously, the primary way when you're thinking, most people, when you're thinking about what am I going to buy today, how am I going to feed my family, you're most often looking for the thing that's most affordable. It's in your budget range, and we're so excited that we can meet that. So we guarantee that our boxes are 30 to 50% cheaper than area supermarkets. And we go out to the markets near us every week and check what they're selling their items at, and then we list what we're selling our items at. We list it in our newsletter. You can see what you're saving. With organic, we always hit a 30% savings, but with conventional, it can be up to 50%. So that's, on the monetary side. And then in terms of conscious consumerism, you can rest assured that you are doing something good for the environment. You're combating waste, which is attached to so many other environmental impacts. So it's really a win-win.
Sounds very exciting, and it's great to talk with you this morning and hear about these ideas.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
I've been speaking with Evan Hazlett. He's an ugly produce enthusiast with Imperfect Produce in the Bay Area. And if you want to find out more about their delivery service, you can go to imperfectproduce.com.